And in chapter 17, there's been the transfiguration, and he has come down off of the mountain, Jesus did, with James and John and Peter. And both of these, James, or I should say John and Peter, were definitely impacted by the mountain, the transfiguration, when Jesus was transfigured before their very eyes. It was one of those life-changing events. And they would both write about it later on in their epistles. And they came down, and then there was a healing of a young man that Jesus made it clear that you cannot, this kind of healing doesn't come except by prayer and fasting. And then Jesus Christ begins to tell them about his impending death, his betrayal. And then if you put Matthew and Mark together, there's also really about this time when the disciples are arguing among themselves who the greatest in the kingdom will be. Now, this story is going to all tie into that, what's going to happen here with Jesus Christ and the story that we're going to read. And then we'll definitely make some application with it tonight. But, Peter, he was definitely in some stories in the Bible. And this is one of them. And so notice in verse 24, I said all those things. He comes into Capernaum, and Capernaum is the place where Peter is from, and this is where their fishing business was. And this was really the headquarters of Jesus Christ in his ministry. And I've been to Capernaum, and it's not anywhere like it was, but it's you could be there on the Sea of Galilee and all of that kind of stuff. But notice what is said here when he comes to Capernaum in verse 24. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? Does your master pay the taxes that everyone considered? Now this is, by the way, this particular tax was the tax for the temple, because this is not a Matthew tax, it's not a Roman tax, this is a Jewish tax. So does your master pay tribute money? And Peter said, yes. And when he was coming to the house, and this was probably Peter's house, which was next to the synagogue, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? And Peter said unto him, of strangers. Jesus said unto him, then are the children free. Now, the best thing we could say this is like, does the king pay taxes? And the answer is, no, people actually pay taxes to the king. Jesus is the king. All right? He is not obligated to pay the temple tax because he is the king of the temple. I'm just saying, the closest that I could think about this, I was trying to, in my mind, it's kind of like military people. All right? Where does military get money? Where do they get their money from? They get it from the government. And so if the government was smart, they just wouldn't have them to pay taxes. But the way our culture is everybody would be offended if the military people didn't pay taxes also. The other thing I was thinking about is the president. Why don't they just pay him his salary and him not have to pay taxes? But because everybody wants to know what the president makes and what his taxes are. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? In other words, the king doesn't have to pay taxes. The king receives taxes. So they're like, well, does your master pay taxes? So he says, Peter, what do you think? Do the kings of the earth take taxes or tribute? Do their children pay or do other people pay? And so he said, then the children are free. Now, verse 27, though, notice these are the words of Jesus. He said, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, that take and give it unto them for me and thee. Now, is that cool or what? So I'm just thinking, Peter's in his mind thinking, oh yeah, right. I'm going to put a hook out. And he reels this thing in and he opens up its mouth and there's the tribute money. Why did Jesus pay the tribute when he didn't have to? Well, the answer is because he said, we don't want to offend anybody. And so we're going to pay the taxes, even though I shouldn't have to because I am the king. So let's make some applications tonight. Lord, thank you for the word of God tonight. Pray that you'd help in the preaching. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I think you might understand that a stranger in this particular passage is not a foreign person, but rather it is a person who is not a member of the king's family. When Jesus asked him that, when do the children, do the kings pay a tribute? And they would say, well, no, of course they don't. That's paid by other people. So we find that Peter goes down to the sea after this conversation with Jesus Christ, and he casts out his line and he takes in a big fish. And the Bible says, when he had opened its mouth, he found the piece of silver, and he took the payment, and he took it to the men that were asking for the tribute and said, here is the money, the tribute for me and my master. By the way, the kind of fish that would have been commonly caught in that would be very common to our catfish. And the catfish is a scavenger. It'll eat anything and everything. And if it sees something shiny, it will grab a hold of that. That's why if you're fishing for catfish, make sure you give them something shiny to look at, and they'll grab a hold of it. The only problem is they don't realize there's a hook on the other end of the shiny object, and you can bring it up. So I want you to understand, the Jews didn't even eat this kind of fish. But one scholar makes the point that this fish grows to the length of 4 feet or more. It has a large mouth, and of course would be attracted by a bright disc. And I'm just telling you, today it's known as Peter's fish, this kind of fish. If you ever go to the area of Capernaum, there's a restaurant there that you'll go to, that many tourists go to, and they put the whole fish on your plate, head and everything. My wife and I chose chicken tenders, because I don't like something looking at me when I'm eating it. Now, this tribute, as I mentioned earlier, was collected to pay the expenses of the temple worship. If you read in the Old Testament, you will find that it was approximately worth a 2 days' pay according to the average of a wage a day. Jesus wanted to show, and he had been, listen, when we come to this point in the story, when we come to this point in the book of Matthew, Jesus has already asked Peter, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And of course, we know that Peter said, well, some say that you're Jeremiah or Isaiah or some other prophet, but who do you say that I am? And of course, Peter declared that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Jesus wanted people to know by this time that he was the Son of God. Jesus is the King. The reason that Jesus had trouble with the money changers is because when people would go to the temple, and even when it was time for them to pay their tax, and they had a Roman coin, they would have to change that coin into Jewish money so that they could pay the temple tax or the temple tribute. And what made Jesus mad was the people were making them pay exorbitant amounts of money to take their money from the Roman coin to the Jewish coin. And Jesus said, hey, you are turning the house of God, which is to be a house of prayer, you are turning in it to a house of merchandise. And at least on two occasions, Jesus went and upset the money changers' table because of what they were doing. And I'm just telling you, that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And he would be exempt from paying the temple tax because he is the temple. He is the Son of God. Jesus is the King. This was his father's house. I'm reminded that when he was 12 years old and he goes into the temple and he confounds the lawyers and the scribes and those that were there teaching, he confounded them. Why? Because he understood the Word of God. Do you know why Jesus, even at the age of 12, understood the Word of God? Was because he was the Word of God. I mean, his family was halfway back to Nazareth before they realized that he was missing, and of course they made their way back to Jerusalem, and when they finally found him, remember what Jesus said to them, wist not that you know or understand that I should be about my Father's business. You know what? This was the Father's house. He was the Son of God. He is the King or the Son. You think King Charles over there or Prince Charles pays taxes? You think Queen Elizabeth pays taxes? No. All of the people of England pay taxes so they can live the way that they live. Now that would probably be a better one. Because our presidents, they still pay taxes. Oh yeah, right. And we want to know what their tax returns are, and we know them all except for Trump's. We don't know his. Because according to him, they're still under auditing for the last 22 and a half years. But I'm just telling you, Jesus should not have had to pay this. When the law of Moses was delivered to the children of Israel at Mount Sinai, the people were numbered, and every male 20 years and upward were required to give a half shekel offering to the Lord. This money was used for the service of the tabernacle according to Exodus chapter 30. Now, if we bring it fast forward to today, we understand that in the church age that we live, God wants us to tithe and to give offerings, not to just anywhere or anybody, but we are to give our tithes and our offerings to the church where we're a member of. And just like the priestly service, and they brought their tribute money and they paid for the house of God, so too do we bring in our tithes and our offerings so that the house of God can be taken care of and lights can be put up and the pastor can be paid and all those kind of things. There is a principle there that we should do that. And one of the things that we should be reminded of here is that we live in an earthly world with earthly obligations and earthly influences, and we cannot influence people to come to Christ if they don't respect our desire to be a people of integrity and that we reflect the character of our Savior in the world that we live in. Meaning, we have to pay taxes like everybody else. We tithe and we give the offerings and we pay our taxes and because we know that the tax provided a significant portion of the revenue that was needed to operate the temple. Because the tax had to be paid in Jewish coin, I mentioned this, money often had to be exchanged for the purpose, and these money changers would come in and get more money, and that's what made Jesus mad. In any case, unlike Roman taxes, by and large, this tax was paid with the what we would call the patriotic, prideful Jews until the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. At that point, listen to this. This is a great historical fact. After 70 AD, when the temple was destroyed, Rome put the money, made them pay the money to Rome in the temple of Jupiter. And so they still had to pay the same amount of tax after Jerusalem fell. But instead of paying it for the temple, because now the temple has been destroyed, they said, oh, we want you to pay that to the Roman temple of Jupiter. How wicked is that? And so look at verse number 25. Jesus, he said, when they asked Peter if he paid the tribute, he said, well, yeah, he does. And when he was coming to the house, he said, he prevented him. He said, what do you think, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter said, of strangers. Jesus said, then are the children free, meaning the children of the king and the king himself are free from paying the temple tax. And I'm just telling you, do kings tax their subjects or their sons? And the obvious answer is they tax their subjects. And until very recently, anyone would have answered the question the same way. We take for granted that our president and his family pay taxes just as we do. And as I mentioned earlier, we even get to inspect his tax returns. And what I always like to know about it is I don't really care how much they make, and I don't care what their investments are. I always want to know how much charitable contributions they make. And let me just tell you, some of them don't give a dime to anybody charitable. So that would tell, even if you're not a Christian, you should give to charity anyhow. Princes and princesses receive tax revenue, and I'm not talking about your children. That was supposed to be a joke. So Jesus draws his attention to Peter about this. And you know, Jesus is not obliged to pay the tax as the Son of God, but he does it anyway. Now he does it quite different than anybody else. I'd like to go fishing like that. What are you fishing for? What do people fish for? Fish. I heard one guy say, I don't go fishing, I go catching. But if I knew I could go fishing and I could get a gold coin every time I go, I'd take up fishing. He doesn't have to pay the taxes that support the operation of his own father's house. He's exempt from it. He's exempt. You know, I found out this from my son, which is a pretty amazing thing. If you're a veteran or you're in the military, I shouldn't say this because somebody might want to move to Oklahoma. If you're a veteran and you live in Oklahoma, especially if you're a wounded veteran of any kind, you don't have to pay taxes in Oklahoma. You don't have to pay sales tax on your house every year. You don't have to pay property tax. All veterans can carry a card in Oklahoma, and they say and you can buy furniture, and you don't have to pay the tax on it. You know what? I think it's an awesome thing. I mean, I bought some new golf clubs, and when I found out that they give a veterans discount, maybe I was on that real fast. But Jesus said this: if I don't pay the tax, even though I'm not obligated, it will offend somebody. I know preachers. I've been approached by this in my taxes, and that said, you know, if the church just takes your tax money out off the top and just pays your salary, you don't have to tithe. And I said, well, I'm not doing that. I'm telling you, there are pastors across America that if you, instead of your salary being $100, they give you $90 because they say, well, the money's already in there. I say, well, I don't want to do that. I want to be like everybody else. I'm just telling you about that's just me. And they say, well, you can pay less taxes. I said, well, so far that hadn't worked out for me either. The word stumbling block, or the idea when he said somebody would be offended, is the idea that people would think it would be scandalous if Jesus didn't pay the taxes. And people would take his refusal to support the worship of the temple as not being loyal to the Jewish temple. They would conclude he didn't think others should pay the tax. And I'm just telling you, I think even though I don't like paying taxes, I think we all need to pay our taxes. I think taxes are way too high. That's my personal opinion. Yeah. I wish the government would be more like God and not take any more than 10% of our income. But I don't know about you, but they do. Oh, yeah. We were sitting around the other day, and there was people, and we were talking about working and paying Social Security, and I looked around at all these. I said, oh no, it's in men's prayer. The older guys were in there. I said, oh, Ain't nobody in here works. Y'all just all sitting at home drawing paychecks now going, amen. One day I'm going to do the same thing too, one of these days. But if you have a job, you need to pay taxes. You know what the problem is? They didn't recognize who Jesus was. They didn't recognize him as the king. But can I say we know who he is? So for him to refuse to pay the tax would be to create all kind of manner of confusion and offense. So what did Jesus do? He paid it. Now why did Jesus pay it? Because Jesus was concerned for other people. Jesus loved souls. Jesus did not want to offend anybody. By the way, the same principle of Paul was when he said, you know, Paul understood that if there was meat that was sacrificed in a temple and it hadn't been eaten or touched, and you could buy it for pennies on the dollar, Paul understood that that idol was nothing. It didn't have no eyes to see. It didn't have no ears to hear. Didn't have no mouth to talk. He was like, if I can go down to Greene County Freight and it's got a damage to, and you can buy it for 25 cents, let me tell you something. I don't care if a can of pork and beans has got a bend in it. As long as I can get the can opener on it and get it open and get those beans out, and I can pay 25 cents rather than go to Walmart where they got a beautiful can and I pay $1.25. I'm just being honest with you. I'm for the 25 cent beans. I love that kind of stuff. But I'm just telling you, Jesus loved people and he did not want to give offense. And so he went out of his way, even though it was a different way. After all, he proved to the world that he was the Son of God. Hey, Peter, where'd you get that money? Say what? Well, I went out there fishing and I got it. You did what? I went out there and got a fish and came out and it had money in its mouth. And you know what they would have said then? Oh, yeah, right. Well, who can do that? God can. So here's what I want you to understand tonight in the message. We need to have humility on the behalf of other people. The Lord had just come down from the mountain. He had just revealed his glory. They had just heard, this is my beloved son. Hear what he says. He had spoken with Moses and Elijah. And now, perhaps not even a day later, maybe even hours, he was treated just like anybody else. You know, taxes are a form of subjugation. You know that? They're an illustration of our place in the world. If you don't think so, remind yourself how you feel when you begin the process of filling out your tax return. I hate it. Every year I get hives because I'm concerned whether I paid enough. Taxes or not. And what they're going to say when I sit there for that 30 minutes and she's putting in all these numbers and how much did you pay the first quarter and how much you paid the second quarter, how much you pay the third quarter, and do this, and how, did you remember to pay the state taxes and all this, and then she goes, well, you're $3,000 short. And there I go, well, there goes my wife's budget again. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ owns it all. He's not obligated to pay anything. But you would never know it by the way he treated others. You would never know it by what they expected of him or how they spoke of him or what they said. I'm going to tell you, today people, they use Jesus' name like it's some cuss word. He's still the king. He's still the Son of God. But he came not to be served, but rather to serve, the Bible says, and to give his life a ransom for many. Even though he's the creator of heaven and earth, the Bible said, he said, I don't have any place to lay my head. Even though he was the lawgiver, he was made subject to the law. He made himself subject. He redeemed those under the law. He was subject to the laws of God's house and the rituals and the regulations and the circumcision and the sacrifice and yes, even the taxes, even though he was the king of all. To be sure, paying taxes was not the worst of his humiliation. It was not Gethsemane. It was not his trial. It was not his scourging, his the cross of Calvary. But he was still the Son of God, and he was willing to humble himself and be subject to even paying taxes. Now, how many think tonight that we're better than Jesus? He was patient, he was humble, he had love for people, he did not want people to stumble, even at these minor irritations. So much was he just another man to the multitude, no matter what his miracles were, no matter what his teachings were. And they even said, no man spake like this. He left them dumbfounded, and at the same time, they expected him to pay taxes. You know what he's going to teach Peter? He's going to teach Peter a lesson tonight, and he's going to teach him the same lesson to us. How humble would it have been for Peter to go out there, catch the fish and bring the money and give it back and pay for them? He wanted his disciples to know and later to remember that for him to pay taxes might have been completely wrong and an humiliation, but he wanted them to understand he didn't want anybody to be offended when it came to that taxes. Can you imagine the tax collector? Let's just use Matthew as an example in the Roman system of taxes, or Zacchaeus going up to King Herod and knocking on his door. And that's the same King Herod that Jesus called the old fox. You go tell that sly fox. That's right in our Bible reading, like kind of right in, getting close to it. You go tell that fox. That's pretty bold. But could you imagine Matthew or Zacchaeus knocking on King Herod's door and saying, hey, Bubba, you need to pay your taxes. Well, they probably got the same thing John the Baptist did. Got their head cut off. It was the way of the world. You know why? Listen, let me. I want you to understand, it's the Lord said to Peter, in effect, I'm willing to go unrecognized. I'm willing to be treated as a common man. I'm willing, even after the honors that have been heaped on me on the mountaintop, to make no demands that others recognize me and worship me for the Son of God that I truly am. And to reinforce the lesson, he sent Peter to find the money to pay the tax in the mouth of one of the fish in the Sea of Galilee. Now here's what we need to understand tonight, and I'll be done. We need to be humble for the sake of other people. I was talking about Paul and I got messed up, but Paul said he knew that the meat that was sacrificed to idols would be cheaper, but you know what he said? For the sake of others, I won't eat that meat. Here's what Paul said. I'll work a little extra to pay $2.95 than I would to eat the meat, because there's people that could be offended. But yet, we want to do anything we want, and we don't want to consider that, hey, we need to be careful that the lost people are not offended by our actions. The reason the Lord gave for paying the taxes was, and I'm sure there was other reasons, but he said in part of his humiliation, the explicit reason he gave Peter was that he wanted to avoid causing others to sin. Because think about this, if Jesus said, I'm not obligated to pay the tax, what would people jump on top of and say? Well, I'm not either. And that would be in trouble. He avoided giving the wrong impression to others, even though it would have been sin for them to draw conclusions that they might have drawn. That Jesus was unfaithful to the temple, that he was a rebel, that he was unsubmissive to the proper authorities, etc., etc., etc. So he said, Peter, the king is not obligated to pay taxes, but we're going to do it anyway. He wanted to put no stumbling block in the way of their recognition of him as Messiah. And by the way, it's amazing, by the time you get to the book of Acts, do you know that many of the priests got saved? There were stumbling blocks already ahead. He didn't want to add to them. In other words, the Lord, here's what he did. He surrendered his rights for the sake of others. Time out. So should we. I've told you my testimony. When I got saved, I didn't know what was right and what was wrong. I was so confused. I didn't know, so I quit everything until I could figure out what was right and what was wrong. You know why? Because I wanted other people to get saved. And I didn't want to do anything to offend anybody. He knew the temple would be destroyed. He knew the establishment was doomed. He understood the damnation that was about to take place. But rather than not paying the tax, he paid the tax, and he basically said this: I do not want my behavior to make the lives of other people more difficult. Well, God's people need to do the same thing. Is everybody getting this? You know what he was doing? He was setting the example for his disciples for later on. People will not be saved because of your pride. They will be saved because of your humility. Now, by the way, on the way back to Capernaum from their encounter with the demon-possessed boy and his father, Mark tells us that the disciples fell into arguing about which of them was the greatest. So Jesus Christ comes down from the mountain of Transfiguration. John and Peter and James there, they see all this. Jesus said, don't tell anybody about this until after my resurrection. And then they're like, you're what? And then they heal the boy that Jesus said, this come not except by prayer and fasting. And then we have the Capernaum story of paying the taxes. And then they're arguing with each other about who the greatest in the kingdom is. Everybody got this? We do the same thing. In other words, both sides of this conversation about the temple tax was a demonstration of their pride. And then, by the way, those boys argued pretty good with each other. You got the sons of thunder, you got Peter the leader, and they're arguing. And in fact, in one story tells us that those James and John even got their mother involved in it. How embarrassing would that be? And their mother comes and tries to get their two boys to be the best in the kingdom. And Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking for. They were arguing among themselves about the greatest, and the Lord's teaching them this: don't think too much, don't think too high about yourself. Can I say that's where we need to be tonight? Pride in the air is in the air in Capernaum. It's not difficult to see that Jesus is dealing with pride when he talks with Peter about the temple tax and how he'll deal with the disciples about the same thing as they're arguing over who the greatest in the kingdom is. If a man is arguing in public that he's greater than some other man, I don't think that's going to be very Christ-like. Has everybody got this? In fact, they had lost sight of something very important, and that's why Jesus, I think, kind of slapped them upside the head. And that's what the Lord does. He tells Peter and the disciples in no uncertain terms that he had rights, but he did not claim those rights because he wanted other people to be saved. The man who's worrying about his status and his station is a man who thinks he's better than everybody else. And what the Lord is going to need from Peter and the other disciples, and eventually from us, is the spirit of humility and self-denial, not the spirit of, hey, look at me. And by the way, all of the disciples learned that eventually and became great servants of the Lord. Here's what I'm saying. You can't be a servant of the Lord if you're full of yourself. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up. And Christ didn't even please himself. The Son of God didn't even have to pay the tax, but he said, we will, because we don't want anybody to be offending. Our responsibility is to live for others and not for ourselves. That's the whole message. You need to be willing to live for others. I challenge you to practice our Savior's sympathy for others, his readiness and willingness to forget our rights and our comforts and our opinions in order that others might be saved or others will not be hindered coming to Christ. And I said, I believe I said this in my preaching. If I offend you because of doctrine, that's one thing. But if I offend you because of my disposition, that's another thing. I guarantee that if you are humble and you're concerned about other people. I got convicted this week. There was a situation that took place and I just said, Lord, I am so wicked. I am so unworthy. And He said, yes, you are. And you should have never thought like that. And I had to apologize, get right with God. And I think sometimes we all need that. Yeah. Every person is important to God. And sometimes we look down on people. You know why we do that? We're prideful. Everybody needs the Lord. I said everybody needs the Lord. You know what? Why don't you interrupt your routine for others? Why don't you lose your time to care for others? Why don't you take time to listen to others? Why don't you quit worrying about your feelings? I get so tired of people getting offended by every little thing that is said or done. Why don't you get over yourself? Amen. So that other people can get saved. Our Lord was the King who lived like a beggar for the sake of our salvation and the salvation of others. And oh, by the way, we mentioned this in the message on Sunday. One day we are going to be a king. One day we already are the children of God. But you know what we need to do is live like a disciple instead of living like a master. Because people need the Lord. People are not going to get saved if we're prideful. They're only going to get saved if we're humble. Jesus is the greatest example. Yes, sir. Peter, I'm not obligated to pay the temple tax because I'm the king of the temple. But we don't want to offend anybody. So let's pay it. Okay, Lord, how do you want to pay it? You know how preachers are. We ain't got no money. I know. Go down there and catch a fish. And we'll pay it. Cool. Probably didn't say that, but it's probably there somewhere. You know what we need to do? Is be willing to be humble for the sake of others. Let's stand tonight, every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, thank you for this very